How about them Cowboys? Well, how about them?
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
How about them? How about them? Let's move on.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
When Brian Flores got fired a couple of weeks ago, that was the surprise. That was the shocker. That was the eyebrow raiser. And the reason that was given publicly by Stephen Ross, the owner, and I'm paraphrasing here, was essentially there were communication problems.
Today's guests, Rams general manager Les Snead, Fox Sports college football reporter Bruce Feldman, actress and comedian Whitney Cummings, and now it's Rich Eisen.
Okay, everybody, welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Thursday before Super Bowl week is here in Los Angeles, California. So much to talk about here on another wild day in sports. It is the first Thursday of February 2022, and I'm going to stop going down this road. Otherwise, I'm going to give you the traffic and weather together on the ones. Good to see you over there, Chris. How are you,
it
sir?
It was like 49 degrees this morning.
It was freezing, but you know, the 405 was not a mess at all.
Not that bad.
Good to see you, Jay Felly.
Hey.
TJ Jefferson. Good to see you, sir.
I feel great, Rich. My velvet rope passed the test yesterday.
It did.
And, you know, just proving my point. Proving my point.
Fun with Stephen A. Smith yesterday here in studio. And today, another fun day. We all need a laugh. Whitney Cummings will provide that in hour number three. She's been here before, and I can't wait to chat with her in studio. Don't miss that in hour number three. Bruce Feldman of Fox Sports and The Athletic. A crazy day in college football yesterday. National Signing Day. Seeing all sorts of craziness from Texas A&M being the first overall recruiting class, and Jimbo Fisher calling out somebody named Sliced Bread because of the accusations as to why Texas A&M got the number one overall recruiting class, and it wasn't because of elbow grease or hard work.
Friends of the program?
We saw a recruit spurn a coach who danced with him in a viral video just a week before. And then, of course, we saw a head coach of a college football playoff team interview for an NFL job, all on National Signing Day. That would be the craziest National Signing Day ever. And we will have Bruce Feldman to discuss that. And in 18 minutes' time, we're going to have a Super Bowl general manager here.
All right.
On the program. Les Snead's calling us in about 18 minutes' time.
Let's do it.
Yes, indeed. And his Rams are in the Super Bowl.
Super.
That's it right there.
Super Bowl.
Taking on the Cincinnati Bengals. That will be a great conversation that we'll have. And then one with you, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. That's how we set things up and say hello again to Sirius XM Channel 85. And, of course, anybody listening to us on this Rich Eisen Terrestrial Radio affiliate, streaming us Odyssey coast to coast. And then, of course, right here on NBC Sports on Peacock. Around 9 o'clock last night, Pacific time, midnight Eastern. But 9 o'clock is when I woke up because I'd already fallen asleep three times. And look at my phone. The kids just beat it out of you. And
amen to that, Rich.
Was this after the Scrabble game?
Well, we'll discuss that later on in this program. But yes. So I looked down at my phone and I see a statement. Was this like a midnight statement? I don't know when they released it, but it certainly, that's when it hit me, hit on my Twitter feed, a statement from the owner of the Miami Dolphins, Stephen Ross. And we had seen a couple of news cycles already cycle through without hearing directly from him on the allegations from Brian Flores, his now fired head coach. And now the plaintiff in a lawsuit, making the Miami Dolphins a defendant in a lawsuit that included the allegations that he had, in addition to firing him inappropriately, but asked him to tank his first year on the job, $100,000 for every loss he would accrue for a Dolphins team that was eager to draft, we think, Tua or eventually Joe Burrow. We finally got a statement from him, quote, "With regards to the allegations being made by Brian Flores, I'm a man of honor and integrity and cannot let them stand without responding. I take great personal exception to these malicious attacks, and the truth must be known. His allegations are false, malicious, and defamatory. We understand there are media reports stating that the NFL intends to investigate his claims, and we will cooperate fully. I welcome that investigation, and I'm eager to defend my personal integrity and the integrity and values of the entire Miami Dolphins organization from these baseless, unfair, and disparaging claims. So, there's now officially no gray area, folks. You got a coach saying the owner did it, and the owner saying emphatically, these are malicious, disparaging, false, didn't happen. Oh, man. And I find it interesting that Stephen Ross said that there are reports in the media of the NFL investigating. Does that mean the NFL has not informed the Dolphins that they are investigating? Is there an investigation of this? I think there needs to be. There has to be. A head coach with zero history of having a lack of integrity or somebody who wasn't a straight shooter. I mean, Brian Flores' reputation is sterling. Has said in his first year on the job, welcome to the team, Brian. Now we're asking you to lose. And here's $100,000 for every loss. Can you imagine an NFL owner doing something like that? Can you imagine what that means in terms of competitive value, in terms of the product on the field, in terms of our, as a fan, level of trust? I mean, that's one of the pillars that can shake the foundations of this goose that is laying what adamantium eggs, you know, you can't even platinum gold eggs, golden goose
vibranium
eggs are you know, undervalue the actual type of egg that this goose is laying.
Daenerys's eggs.
I don't even know, but you know, that is Khaleesi. Speaking of Dracarys, that is what this lawsuit is like. Yeah, I mean, this is a fire breathing lawsuit.
Oh yeah.
And I bring this up once again, needing to say clearly nothing is worse than treating somebody differently and adversely because of the color of that person's skin. Nothing is worse than that. In the world of competition in the NFL, this is something I've never heard of before. Yeah. Do teams basically pull all their starters in week 17 or now week 18 to make sure that their draft position is okay or better than okay or is solidified? Yes, it happens. You know what I've also seen? I've also seen teams that should do that and they don't and they win. I was in Indianapolis on a Saturday night of a late season game in the suck for luck year, which is the phrase that you were hearing in Indianapolis the minute that Peyton Manning's neck wasn't going to stand the test.
The old 2011 Colts, Rich.
I was there. What was that? It's a Saturday night, week 16, if I'm not mistaken?
Week 16, yeah. They had won the week before against Tennessee.
Their first win of the year.
Yeah, to go to 1-13.
And then the Texans had already clinched the AFC South and came into the building. And it still couldn't even beat Indianapolis, which they had a major trouble doing when Peyton Manning was the quarterback there. And Reggie Wayne caught a touchdown pass with no time left. And I was sitting on the set with Marshall Faulk, and I was sitting on the set with Michael Irvin and Mooch. And we're all looking at each other as the fans are going crazy and cheering, like, what are they doing?
Yeah, why are they cheering?
Do they understand that they may have just lost the ability to draft Andrew Luck first overall? And for anybody, you know, I can't believe this is 10 years ago, huh? That anybody out there who might be new to this football world, this was the equivalent of Trevor Lawrence last year.
Yeah, Dan Orlovsky threw the pass to Reggie Wayne.
Oh, we were wondering what the hell they thinking.
Yeah.
So I've heard this before, you know, in terms of tanking, but I've never heard like full season paying somebody off to do exactly what they were not hired to do, and to conduct themselves exactly against who they are and the fiber of their being. And I've already heard the stuff like, well, why didn't Brian Flores say anything at the time? Are you serious? He just got hired. And guess what he did anyway? Started to win games.
Yep.
To the point where he says that put him in bad favor right off the bat with his new boss. And in terms of why didn't he do something about it at the time, if this is true, then do you see how many other jobs are there for people of color at the head coaching position right now? We may go through this cycle with 8-9 jobs open and all of them filled by white men. Now then, Stephen Ross says it is true. It is not true that this happened, and he's going to fight it. This is going to be, well, we're going to have to see it. Is it going to be in this lawsuit, or is it going to be through what the NFL is going to look into? Because this is untenable. Stephen A. Smith was here yesterday and said that this would be the penalty about removing your team from your possession. Mm-hmm. And this is a man whose reputation, certainly on the campus of my school, is as sterling as they come as well. I mean, his name's on the business school.
Rich, you can just donate money and get your name on something. It doesn't necessarily make you a pillar of the community.
But
right?
he is in the pillar in the community.
Oh,
there.
Okay.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. He is. And has, a reputation in the philanthropy community as well. I mean, there's a lot on the line here, and the league is going to have to look into it. I wonder if it hasn't happened yet. We got to get on it. I know we got a Super Bowl going on, but this is the integrity of the game. This goes to the heart of everything. And we'll see who else joins. You mean Hugh Jackson saying that the Browns didn't exactly pay him to purposely lose games, but they did provide him with spreadsheets and everything about how they were going to set things up in order to lose enough to start winning on the back end of his contract. That might be tanking by another name, but this is just flat out. I'm still stunned by the accusation. I'm stunned by it. And so that was an interesting response from Stephen Ross, and wanted to lay that one out there. Meanwhile, it looks like the Miami Dolphins and the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to wind up being last, choosing a coach. And even if it's the Saints, you have to understand that, right? Because they lost their coach later than anybody else. What are the Jaguars doing? I don't even know what's happening down there.
It's so weird because at this time last year, all we heard was Trevor Lawrence, generational talent.
Yes.
Best quarterback of the last.
Yes.
You would assume that you'd be jumping through hoops to get this.
And they had already hired Urban Meyer, so it was like, Urban's back.
But this is a team that knew in week four this might not be tenable after their coach didn't get on a plane. And they knew. And had a viral video go out of what he was doing while still being back there in Ohio after taking the team plane home. 1 month in was an indication that this might not be tenable. And then they got the jump by bouncing him. So you knew you would have to choose a coach. And you knew Doug Peterson sitting at home then. You could have talked to him on the spot. And you had to know that Byron Leftwich is a viable candidate. He already was. You had to know that your general manager that just walked into your building is somebody that might not be the cup of tea to the number of people that you'd be reaching out to. Anybody could have told you that. RES Consulting leading the way. Now it looks like Rick Spielman might be brought in for a football role that I guess they'd be creating. Is that a way to tell somebody, there's somebody between Shad Khan and Balky who's going to still be there?
Yeah, over Balky.
Like, what's the flow chart? Or you just give Byron Leftwich what he wants and rip the knob off and tell everyone in Jacksonville Byron's home.
Right. Seems too easy.
I don't understand it.
They better get a good coach or they're going to ruin Trevor Lawrence.
I mean, to be honest, you've got you've got still time to do that. And Doug Peterson would be a terrific guy to bring in for him. So would Leftwich. I don't get it. I don't understand it because it's Senior Bowl time and it's time. The Super Bowl is coming up in 10 days. At what point are you going to start hiring somebody? The Combine's like 3 weeks away after the Super Bowl's over. I don't understand it. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. I guess we wanted to get the dysfunction out of the way before Les Snead joins us because they're doing nothing but functioning. The general manager of the Los Angeles Rams joining us next right here on the Rich Eisen Show. They have painted the turf at SoFi Stadium. It's already, set.
Have you seen the photo?
I have indeed.
Incredible.
We will be talking about all of that with Les Snead when we come back right here on the Rich Eisen Show. The GM of the LAR on RAS when we come back.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
844-204-RICH, the number to dial right here on the Rich Eisen Show. We will be taking your calls throughout the day, so it'll be a lot of fun. I mentioned going to break in our first hour here that the field at SoFi Stadium here in Los Angeles, California, is set for the Super Bowl. There it is. Look at that.
Wow, that looks amazing.
It really is a beautiful stadium, folks. If you get a chance to ever come to Los Angeles, it's a pricey ticket. This time around might not be it, but just look at that.
Man, that's go see something. Man.
That Oculus that's right there, it's what they call it. It's like a halo ring that's over the entire stadium field. Like it's the circumference of the entire field. Yep. So it like matches the oval of the field surface above it. And it's incredible. And it's loud, man. And the crazy thing is there's the home team on the right. That normally plays in the stadium with the Chargers, but they're the away team here, and the home team on the left with an end zone painted with their name and the logo is the Cincinnati Bengals, which leads us to today's version of saying the statement that we're saying every day with a different accent on a different syllable or word.
Yeah, inflection point.
The Bengals are in the Super Bowl.
So we're going to R today.
Yes, we are. Okay. That's a little bit more, I think that's more declarative.
Yeah. The Cincinnati Bengals.
But hold on a second. Well, save it for another day. There's okay, so many more days. Don't unload the chamber here.
That was just. I'm still in awe.
Today's the Bengals are.
Are
in the Super Bowl. And that's for all you Bengals fans out there that want to pound the chest and make sure everyone understands who's coming to represent the AFC. Cincinnati Bengals.
Bengals
are in the Super Bowl.
I understand.
Thank you.
I don't know if I understand. I'm here for it. This is amazing.
Like, how cool is the color contrast? Like the blue with the white against the black.
It's the colors. The blue and the gold.
The colors go against each other well.
The royal blue and the
awesome.
And the gold.
It just looks good.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yes, indeed.
Super Bowl logo looks good.
The shield right there in the middle. Here we go, baby. 10 days.
By the way, Rich, I don't know if you've taken a look at secondary ticket prices.
Of course he hasn't, Chris. What are you asking about?
I don't know.
Ooh, baby.
Is that right?
We're now five figures for a ticket to get in.
Jeez.
To get in the building.
That is nutty. That is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah.
Good luck. Oh, my word.
Good luck.
You going to be at the game, Rich?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I go every year.
I mean,
I don't know if you're aware. I'm the host of NFL Network. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Yeah, I mean.
Oh, yeah. I could go home and watch it.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, you might be having a party.
Yeah.
You
know what I mean? Okay. No, I'll be going to the Super Bowl this year. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Kids want to go.
Do people call you asking, can you get them in?
Do you think?
Well, people are asking me, and I'm like, why the hell would I be able to? So you must get a lot of calls.
Do you think?
Hey, Rich, you got two extras?
You know, Rich, I've never asked you for anything since I've been here. And,
well, as long as the Cowboys keep doing what they're doing, you won't have to.
Yeah. You asked me for a lighter a few weeks ago, and now I understand why, because you're lighting a candle every day.
Hey, Brockman, I heard you. You just be quiet over there.
Yeah, it's getting a little crazy around here. They're putting the perimeter up. NFL Network's inside the perimeter, so it's kind of crazy. The perimeter, you know, the security perimeter, it's going to be wild next 10 days, but the Super Bowl is here, and in the Super Bowl is a team from Los Angeles, California. Unbelievable run by the Los Angeles Rams to try and match what the Bucks did last year, although they've already kind of bettered it by winning a home game in the NFC Championship game to make the Super Bowl in Los Angeles happen for the Rams. And the general manager of the NFC champion Los Angeles Rams, Les Snead, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Les?
I'm good. How about you, Rich?
All right, great. I was just asked by one of my guys here about people blowing you up for tickets or anything like that. You must be. Do you have a perimeter built around you? Security perimeter built around you, Les, for this week?
You definitely need a perimeter for sure. It was probably perfect timing yesterday, but it was interesting. For some reason, my phone did something, and like, so the contacts weren't really matching. You know, they weren't showing up on my text, so all I was getting was these numbers.
Yeah.
And you know, there's always the congratulations right at the beginning.
Oh, no. So you got to be new phone who this? Is that what you're going to be like, Les?
Yeah, I mean, but what I was like, holy cow, this is either good or bad. How do I handle it? But like a lot of things in life, I, you know, probably took me longer and more frustration than I should. I just actually figured out how to turn it off and power it off.
Well done.
Let it take a break and then came back on. The contacts were there. So,
crisis averted.
Yes, I could definitely use it. You could definitely use a let's call it a staff of ticketers. If that's the word for them.
So, Les, just two on the home side.
Stop,
no big deal.
Stop. Don't worry. Don't listen to him, Les. He'll just go to the secondary ticket market. Don't worry about that. Don't do that. So, Les, let me just jump in here. What does a general manager do in the week leading up to a Super Bowl? Like, what is your job? What is your role, Les, right now?
You know what? There's no manual of that because it's definitely hard to get to this game. But I think the best thing that I can do in this role, right, is to help Sean, his coaches, make sure we alleviate the distraction, right, of the party that goes on along with the Super Bowl. Because at the end of the day, right, I know I can't help him figure out how to score points on the Bengals or stop them from scoring. So obviously, we have a personnel staff that's helping them with their, you know, let's call it who's good, who's bad, who's impactful, who's not, all those things that they're working together. So, and also, once we get through the initial, hey, where are we at injury-wise, what roster moves do we have to make, things like that, do we need to clean this thing up for the Super Bowl? You know, my job's really to help do my part in making sure that group is not distracted and focused on the main thing, and that's competing for this world championship.
So who may be on that? Who's on that radar screen right now, health-wise, right now for the Rams for Super Bowl 56?
I think what the interesting thing we have 2 weeks here, and Tyler Higbee had an injury during the game. So the nice thing is we get 2 weeks to try to get him back. He's an integral part. Taylor Rapp has missed some time, and so you know he's on his way, but the roster management of it all too is we have Daryl Henderson that is beginning to get back to practice, Sebastian Joseph Day, and some of if you want to call it the GM maneuvering with head coaches. Hey, do you actually activate those to the roster, or do you keep them on IR? And with that, right, comes deletions from the roster, which is always a hard thing to do this time of year, right? If you're going to, I mean, you're going to cut someone the week of the Super Bowl, things like that. But so you really, Sean and his group, Raheem, his group, they game plan, Joe D, his group, and like what positions may be more valuable. Do you go heavy tight end, running back, things like that? So a lot of those little nuances that probably are boring your listeners.
No, this is what I asked. I mean, this is important stuff, you know, obviously for the Super Bowl, and then there's other stuff going on. What can you say as we're sitting here right now about your offensive coordinator and how he looks in purple? I mean, is that something that you know about with Kevin O'Connell right now? Right.
You know, here's what I can say. I think he'll look good in purple, and I think if that comes to fruition, and I think the Vikings are getting a heck of a head coach. I think he's got some unique experiences, like being that quarterback, right, drafted by the Patriots, being in the meeting room with Tom Brady, Josh McDaniels. There's some unique, real unique experiences that not a lot of head coaches can bring, right, or offensive coordinators can bring to a team, because only so many people get a chance to play QB. And then he was a journeyman, per se, which was probably a negative, right, when you're playing. Like, I can't believe I'm a journeyman. But if you're gonna become a long-time coach, right, being able to bounce around to different teams, different coordinators, different way of doing things, it allows you your bag of tricks of, like, what you'd like to do, what you definitely not like to do. But for all the listeners in Southern California, the interesting thing is if you know Southern California, if you kind of know the beach communities, like, there's this kind of, like, big deal when you're young, this thing called junior guards, right? It's like the lifeguard. It's almost like going to camp with the lifeguard.
Uh-huh.
So I can say there probably hasn't been a lot of, like, NFL head coaches who wear purple in Minnesota who was a junior guard back in the day.
I didn't know that. You're going deep down the roster here of information. So so Kevin O'Connell is it, let's just put it this way, could wind up somewhere else, and it appears that he is. So what do you think of the fact that your staff keeps getting raided year in and year out, including the guy who's coaching against you in this year's Super Bowl?
Again, I think it's a compliment to the ecosystem here. So, and obviously, anytime it happens, we're very excited, right? There, someone earned an opportunity, right? And heck, a 1 of 32 type opportunity. And there's been guys, and there will be some that move on to be coordinators. Now, on the negative side of that, Rich, is wow, we gotta. I would say it's on the positive side. It's always fun. It's always interesting to try to go find, right, up-and-coming, difference-making type people to add to the ecosystem. What definitely gets exhausting at times is orientating them, training them in the way we do things. So
right.
It seems to be a constant. But at the end of the day, right, it would be what we call a champagne problem, right? Because usually other teams like to, let's call it, promote people from successful programs. So that's the rose of the thorn.
Les Snead, general manager of the NFC champion Rams, here on the Rich Eisen Show. Does it help, though, to know Zach Taylor for a game like this and have Sean there, and you know him, he knows him, and obviously you know what he's been able to cook up, but is that a benefit, do you think, in actually X's and O-ing this Super Bowl 56?
That's a good question. I was listening to Willie McGinnis last night, and you know Willie and they all love Belichick, right? But he was arguing on NFL Network that Zach had the upper hand because he knew Sean, and I forget who it was that asked him, well, would you ever say that about someone who left Belichick, that they had the upper hand? But interesting listening to the whys on that. We all know Willie now is like, no, I would never say that one of the people's had upper hand on Belichick. So at that, but what is interesting, we definitely, I think there's benefits, but I'm not sure it moves the needle in any way, because there's a lot of similarities to, right, what they do and how we do things, but there's also definitely some derivatives and differences. But it does make it very intriguing matchup as Sean and Zach and their staffs begin to, you know, design the chess match against each other.
Now, obviously, you weren't going to be in the mix for the number one overall pick in the 2020 draft. Although with you, you can never tell. I mean, you know, there's no such thing as an impossibility when you're pulling any trade off or what have you, as you have proven, Les Snead. But what was your evaluation of Burrow coming out of LSU? And now you're seeing him just 2 years in, standing in your way for a ring and a Lombardi.
Les. It's interesting because we weren't going to be right in the mix at number one. And at that point, right, we weren't really looking for a QB. So it would probably waste my time to do a really deep dive on someone like Joe Burrow, just because to try to figure out a quarterback and get that right. I mean, it's almost like you got to spend all your time on that and then get somebody else the rest of the draft. That's an exhausting process.
So what is that? What is that process, Les? Because, again, you're seeing Burrow do what he's doing, and clearly you made that evaluation of Stafford to go ahead and make that maneuver, and here they are both Super Bowl quarterbacks. So what is that evaluation that's so difficult to make? I'd love to pick your brain on that.
And I think what you have to do, right, is you're trying to figure out Stafford being one that he's played in, that's person situation, right? You see him do it against NFL players, mm-hmm. NFL schemes, right? But, so it's person situation. You know he can be a successful NFL quarterback. Situation is, can he come here, right, help move the needle in terms of wins and losses and going deep in the playoffs? Burrow's, and college players, a little bit different, because you're seeing them against, you know, college players, and will it translate to the NFL? But I do know, even though I didn't do an exhaustive evaluation of Joe, LSU has a lot of players. Their conference, the SEC, has a lot of players. So probably watched about every game Joe Burrow had, and what's interesting is he's playing against a lot of NFL players. And he's got a lot of them on his team, but he definitely, the systems translated. It was college football, wasn't totally a pro system, but they were asking him to make NFL-type reads. So you could, some of those evals were like, okay, I think Joe Burrow's really, really got a chance. And he was fun to watch and felt like that was a really good bet. I do remember texting Zach Taylor, or maybe Sean and I called him, and I forget how they finished the year. It did seem like it was a tough loss, but I remember us telling him, you know what, you'll be glad you lost that game because you get to draft Joe Burrow, and life will get better down the road here.
So, yeah, so now here you guys, isn't that amazing? Now here you guys are in the Super Bowl against one another. Les Snead here on the Rich Eisen Show. And so, you know, obviously, you saw something that Stafford could do it. What made you think he could do it? And now you're in the Super Bowl right now with him, Les. What about that?
I think when we evaluated, right, Matt, the system fit. He's one of the ideal QBs for Sean, because in Sean's offense, right, it is an element of traditional pro style, a little less of the college brand. So Matt had been doing that, right? Heck, not only in Detroit, he did that at Georgia, and he probably did that in Pee Wee football, because in those days there was really not a lot of spread going on. So he had a lot of reps at right, leading, guiding, steering a pro style offense. But I think the thing you immediately felt when you watch, hey, he can make every throw. He can make decisions. He can make them quickly. But when you really got to do a deep dive in him, you're like, wow, those are, you know, those no-look throws he would make where he's manipulating maybe linebackers at the second level, safeties at the third level, and no looking over here, but because he just knows the concepts of the D and how that would just really throw them off. You got to feel his toughness of taking a hit, getting right up, shaking it off. The OL, you could tell the OL loved blocking for him because of that. And it's like nothing happened. And you got to, you also got to see those comebacks that a lot of us didn't get to see because the Lions, right, didn't play primetime games or things like that. But that was definitely something on his resume. But that's one thing, to see it, to vet it, but to partner with him and live it. And I think it came to fruition right in the Tampa game, right, where you see him be Matt Stafford and do all the things right, and the defense play well, and you got a 27-3 lead. But you also see him be Matt Stafford when, holy cow, how is this game tied? And it's 42 seconds left. And you know what? I said, whatever's in his DNA to be able to take the snap and make a couple throws, clock it, and Matt Gay kicked the game winner, and the rest is history. I think that's when you go, holy cow, that's special.
Yeah, and then, of course, to have, you know, the 69th overall pick, third round of the 2017 NFL draft, and Cooper Kupp now be a Triple Crown winning threat and an MVP candidate of absolute note and total bona fide threat right there. Aaron Donald maybe being, you know, in the discussion of greatest defensive player ever, first round draft choice by you. You know, the additions of Odell Beckham Jr. this year, along with Von Miller, made everybody say, well, Les, it's all about this year or nothing. And Eric Weddle, my God, he's now playing like you can't take him off the field. He went from the couch to being able to, you can't take him off the field, and he's now a leader in the locker room. I know you got a Super Bowl to win, but what is it like to be a general manager pushing buttons and having them work when everybody's wondering if you can make it work, Les?
Well, I think the all-in thing, I think we were all in, like a lot of teams, right? We were all in probably when we were building, Rich, and you're all in on the build. That's where the, right, we were probably doing it opposite of what we're doing now. We were trying to collect first-round picks and add as much young talent as possible, right, to grow together, build a core, and you're trying to be intentional, but you're hoping that you break through. And we're fortunate enough to break through, and I think, you know, when you do break through, if you're fortunate, there's your window. What are you going to do with it? How are you going to take advantage of it? And I think we've got a little bit of a philosophy here where the math says, right, when you're trying to be one of 32, you should probably be thinking a little bit differently, right, than the other 31, because it's a tight league. Everyone's good. You know, most organizations are highly competent. So that's kind of our philosophy. But we're fortunate enough to get in this window, and we're going to try to do everything possible to take advantage of it.
I knew you wouldn't spike the football. I knew it. But is it true, little birdie told me, you got a standing ovation at a local Starbucks merely walking in this week? Is that a true story, Les? Is that true?
Boy, sometimes my wife's Twitter account gets me in trouble, right? Yeah. But the answer is yes.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So you walk in and then everybody starts breaking out and gives you a venti of appreciation. Is that basically what happened? Wow. Les?
You know, and it's kind of your core group. Back there. It was a little bit earlier. So it's the core group. A lot of people who work at Starbucks. Sure. But that I'm okay talking about that, Rich, because there's been many a Mondays where I've woken up and said, you know what, not doing coffee today. I can't go face the music.
Okay.
I'm just going to make it at home today.
Okay.
So,
all right.
You know, that may be the best thing about winning in the NFL is when you get a chance to walk in on a Monday after a win.
And get a Starbucks standing O. So I guess the last one for you then, Les. Harder hearts, you know, obviously you know your roster inside and out, so you also know what might be exploitable, knowing, again, who is coming your way, Burrow, Chase, knowing how opportunistic this defense has been in its playoff run. What keeps you up, maybe, when if you wake up middle of the night staring at the ceiling, go, I got to talk to Sean about this. What do you think is your Super Bowl 56 threat level on that front with the Bengals coming?
Yeah, I think, you know, it always, you know, like I mentioned earlier, I try to stay out of the way in terms of game planning. That's not my area. But at the end of the day, I think what we'll focus on, because whoever you're playing, this team's really good, like you mentioned. They've done a nice job, let's call it, solidifying their eligibles to let's call it catch the ball, run the ball, all those things around a dang fun QB to watch. Like you said, they got a lot of veterans on that defense, so that allows them to change their scheme. Right, they'll scheme according to an off similar to maybe the Patriots a little bit. They adjust quickly at half. You can see. I mean, obviously that was on display against Kansas City, where it looks like it's over. They do some things at half. Next thing you know, they win the game. So anytime you play a game this magnitude, the opponent's good. So I think what we try to do internally here is focus on what we do best, and then at that point, how does that translate into attacking them, and go out and compete and try to be great when it matters, and that's all you can do.
All right.
Because at this point in time, when you're playing for one of 32 and there's only two left, the opponent's going to be dang good.
Plus, what else you got to do, right? I mean, the Senior Bowl, you don't have to ask anybody there. You have no draft choices left. So it's, right, Les? Who cares? Right?
You know, that would be let's call it accentuating the shallow narrative that we – you know, that we F the draft picks. You know, we will have a lot of picks. They will all be on day three, but there's a chance we have 10 plus picks on day three.
Okay. As you know, so, Les, having known me for a while and I've known you, I am an expert at accentuating the shallow narrative. That is what I do professionally. So, I appreciate
it. And you do it well, Rich. You know,
I'm the best at it.
Well.
Damn right, I'm the best
at it. Entertaining content.
Thank you, sir.
And anytime I start getting nuanced to the second and third level of, you know, compensatory formulas,
yes.
Right? You know what I mean?
Yes.
Your listeners love it. I can tell I'm losing you, though.
Thank you, Les Snead. I'll see you soon. We'll see you soon. All Enjoy right, the man. Week. Take care, man. There you go. Les Snead, everybody. Coffee junkie. First team all hair. General manager of the NFC champion Rams. Drafted Cup. Drafted Donald. Acquires Jalen Ramsey. Back end.
Stafford. Odell.
Stafford. Von Miller. Midseason. Ready to roll. Accentuating the shallow narrative. Is that a good one? Or venti of appreciation? Which is the best one to come out of?
I wrote down Starbucks standing O.
Starbucks standing O. Venti of appreciation.
But that was yours.
Okay. So? What's the big deal?
Well, it's more like the cast.
Half that list is my stupidity.
Possible.
That sounds like a rap.
Venti of appreciation, I think, is, you know, you got to.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. He walks in with Starbucks and they're applauding. Well, is there a more LA football story than that? No. I guess an Erewhon would be the only thing if you could punch it up and workshop it, you know. The general manager of the NFC champion LA Rams goes into a Whole Foods and they just absolutely drop their granola and genuflect it.
Erewhon for wheatgrass and I mean, someone already tweeted that I was complaining 49 degrees is cold, but...
Okay, there you go.
Hey, it was chilly this morning, yeah, I mean, man.
It was. Phone calls, everybody. Phone calls, 844-204-RICH, and an interesting fatherhood moment for me last night. That's next on The Rich Eisen Show.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Let's take a phone call. Eric in Seattle, you're on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Eric?
Well, I must say this. So I'm from Alaska originally.
Okay.
And for some reason, I just grew up loving Dan Marino. So I'm a huge Dolphins fan.
Okay.
And the way that you just projected everything is just like, I almost don't have anything to say because, I mean, you just hit it on point. But I just want to thank you for being so like aware of everything. And that's like, it's an amazing thing for me.
Oh,
very special.
Thank you.
I hope this thing goes in the right direction as far as social inequity and this and that. So,
yeah. And I agree. And I don't know how to square the circle of one coach saying this absolutely happened and the owner saying there's no way it happened. And, I don't know how this works out. I mean, it couldn't work out in the discovery process. It can work out in a process of the court. And I do hope that more people of color get an opportunity that clearly it seems they're not getting right now, as every team makes an individual decision, and it seems to all be coming up the same way, you know? So,
You're dang right. You're dang right.
Thanks for the call.
And there's one African-American coach in the NFL right now?
Well, that's it for the moment, yes, in Mike Tomlin. And it is certainly not representative of the rosters and the locker rooms, as more and more front offices appear to be more representative, that's for sure, and certainly the NFL front office. But thanks for the call in terms of other head coaches. Again, Brian Flores, I know it's tough to give a job to somebody who's suing you and saying something about one of your fellow members, that'd be tough to look at Stephen Ross in the face and say, yeah, we hired the guy that says that you said you gave him $100,000 a game to tank, and you say you didn't do it, but we hired him anyway. You know, but you want somebody of integrity, and you want somebody who's going to stand up for what they believe in. Somebody who was told we'd like you to tank and then won anyway, and then gets fired and says, I'm going to file a lawsuit to try and help with this process, but still want to coach in the league. That might be the guy you want to hire, too. Just throwing that out there. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here in the program. That's quite a setup for Super Bowl week here.
Heavy stuff,
where,
man.
Where fans are fired up for football and coffee, apparently. I said it was an L.A. story. That's, I guess, more of a Seattle story.
Seattle story,
Starbucks. Navy Federal is here to help you if you need help making sure that everything is balanced after an off-balance holidays, because they got a little bit more expensive than you thought. Navy Federal Credit Union helps you take control of your finances after the holidays. You can get a low intro APR on their Platinum credit card. It's their lowest rate card, and it's a great tool to pay down debt. And beyond the holidays, Navy Federal even has multiple savings and investment options to help you get closer to your financial goals. They offer digital tools, educational resources to help you guide your decisions. With Navy Federal, you can automate your saving and investing to put your money to work for you even as you sleep. Plus, you can buy fractional shares. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. At Navy Federal, our members are the mission. Message and data rates may apply. Savings products insured by NCUA. And investment options are available through a Navy Federal Investment Services, but are not insured by NCUA. So, trying to be Father of the Year, best dad ever, last night. you know, kids, when they're done with their homework, or they say they're done with their homework, all they want to do is just get on another screen, you know? Dude, enjoy the fact that your son, the only thing your son wants right now is to watch Cars.
To watch Cars.
Okay?
Cars?
I've
Cars.
Been through all that.
Cars?
I've been through there, been there, done that. And then one day they're like, I'm done with my homework. Really? So at any rate.
She's saying they grow up at some point.
Yep. So my daughter, Taylor's like, I want to watch a show. Wants to watch a show. Like, and invariably, I'll let you know what's in the mind of an 8-year-old girl. And invariably, it's Ninjago.
Okay.
Getting ready for that. It's a Lego version of all sorts of stuff.
Got it.
She's into that. She's into Miraculous is a show that she really enjoys.
Is it a cartoon?
Nope. Okay. That is a cartoon. Oh, okay. Yes. But at any rate, I'm like, how about let's play a game? So we played Scrabble.
Love it.
Which is great for an 8-year-old because it's great in terms of strategizing and addition, you know? Mm-hmm. Like what's when she gets a double letter score, double word score, or yep. something like that. It's math. She learns new words, or she attempts words that are not actual legitimate words in terms of playing Scrabble.
Sure.
Put up on the screen, she had a Z in her quiver and spelled D's. D-E-E-Z.
Well done, Taylor.
You're now in that position as a father trying to teach her rules, trying to teach her what's allowable, what's legal within the rules, and also want to reward her for her ingenuity.
Creativity.
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
What do you do? Do you tell her that's a word or not a word?
I know what I would do.
It's 1,000% a word.
That's not where I saw that going.
Oh, I know what I would do. Well, I also have to win.
D's.
And I want to teach my son a lesson, and I'm not above cheating.
Okay.
Win, okay?
Yes. This is all horrible stuff that you're saying.
What do you mean? I would disallow that.
You would disallow D's.
I would not allow D's.
Jay Felly, would you disallow D's or would you allow D's?
Depends. Is BOFA allowed?
BOFA is. I mean, I can't just. This is. We've got to just keep it in this box of her and just understand. The second E. If you wouldn't mind placing it back on the second E of D's. Is atop a double word score. So this is actually a 28-point swing here.
Yeah.
I'm going to say no.
Okay. Disallow. TJ Jefferson.
Of course. D's?
You're allowing it?
He's allowing D's.
Do you know me? Of course I'm allowed D's.
Now, I'll be honest with you. If you put it up one more time.
Not a real word.
You put it up one more time, that would also allow her, if she had, for her next move, an N-U-T, to place that onto the left of the Z and get a double letter score on the end, that would open the door to allow the word nuts with a Z to be utilized as well.
Let's just hope that didn't happen.
I'm just saying it's a slippery slope if you say yes, it's allowable. Because then I didn't even think that BOFA would be in the mix.
Well, I almost responded with BOFA yesterday, but I was like, I'm just going to let this play out.
Now, she learned this from you, right?
So, her brothers could be dad every now and then.
Of course, D's is a word. That's not even a question.
Another word could be Nunya, N-U-N-Y-A.
Nunya business.
That's correct. That's a word that gets thrown around in the eyes and household.
Official Scrabble dictionary.
Is D's in there?
D's not a word. Not D's. A playable word.
Well, according to the Urban Dictionary, D's is a word.
Well,
so
all I'm saying is this.
That's how I get that.
After further review, it was disallowed.
Oh.
She replaced the Z with an R for deer.
Okay.
All right.
I am so opposed to this.
Which, as you know, would be just a 10-point play. So it was an 18-point ruling.
Taylor, your dad did you dirty. I'm just going to tell you that.
Play to win, Rich. Play to win.
By the rules.
By the rules.
Got to be consistent.
These is a word.
Got to be consistent.
All right, I'm putting that up as a poll.
Well, I put it up as a poll on my Instagram as well.
Nice.
Let me see what the current ruling is right now on my Instagram. Should I allow it? Wow, my word. 73% say yes.
Yeah.
What?
780 have said no. So that's 2,133 people have voted yes, 780 no, and the math is there: 73% yes, 27% no.
It's a word, baby.
It is definitely not.
Definitely not.
And for an 8-year-old as well. You know,
strong.
An 8-year-old as well. Dad, no. Is Dad, that what no. I heard? Did you hear Vivi Brady?
Is this her response?
Both it was just, again, and the funny thing is that we initially were going to play Trouble instead.
Oh, another great game.
But she's been kicking my ass in that so often lately that she said she's gotten bored with it.
Step your game up.
Yeah, dude, it's a little popping thing in the middle.
That's
it's
more of
totally
a reflection of your game playing
luck.
Skills.
It's all luck. There is a little strategy as to whether you knock a piece off the board or something like that, but, you know. Good lessons for everybody that you can't get watching Ninjago. You know what I'm saying? But D's, I couldn't believe it. So she's like, you know, she wished she had an R and an O so she could spell zero, or a B and an R so she could spell zebra because she had an A. And she knew she had the E available.
I wish there was and she a goes, reaction there we shot go. Of you.
Well, I immediately grabbed my phone and took a photograph of it.
Also, can we just talk
She
about
started with wow. I went with web.
Yeah, why did three-letter words kill a Scrabble board?
That would have been wow, D's nuts.
She didn't. Yeah. Yeah.
You just, that was just, that was.
Too far?
Pushed it. I mean, there was a line there.
You know, yeah.
Definitely stepped over.
Yeah, it's all right.
Go back to not talking.
What is it? What is it?
Shut up.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Bob Costas telling Brockman to shut up.
Our Have new you put that on your drop. Twitter bio yet, Brockman?
Oh, that Bob told me to shut up?
Yeah, you need to.
Well, it doesn't rhyme with what I got going on in the Twitter bio right now.
Okay. So next hour, Bruce Feldman, more of your phone calls, 844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's dive a little bit into the college football world and what yesterday's signing day meant for college football, the ever-changing world they're in.